Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. And joining me, two amazing doctors of psychology. And
Sometimes we're kind of psycho. You're right, Steve.
Yeah. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop.
At least my kids think so.
Yeah, that I'm sure from time to time that does
We're
happen,
happy to be anyway. That kind of psycho.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And I'm really glad that everybody is with us. And if you want to join us on the program, it's pretty simple. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you. And, you know, you can talk about anything. We kind of said we would like to focus on eating disorders a little bit today, but we don't have to do that. If you've got a question, call us. But it is kind of ironic that on the week of Thanksgiving that we were going to focus perhaps a little bit eating disorders.
And just when everybody's thinking of abandoning their food plan.
Well, you know, I kind of think if you unless you are on some kind of strict regimen that requires no deviation for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, this is a great time to give yourself a little bit of grace and enjoy the family and celebrate
on Thanksgiving Day, for sure.
Yeah, if there's any time that mm-hmm. Eating is appropriate and, don't be too hard on yourself is what I think.
Relax.
And of course, I'm talking to myself.
Relax. You get a pass for Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, there's a concept. Relax and enjoy the family. And, you know, we talk about this at our conferences. We've got a Finding Freedom coming up on January the 25th. And we tell people, you know, one of the ways to come to a conference and not be there is focus on how hungry you are at any given, you know, just start obsessing over that. And then, you know, that takes you away out of the moment. And so, you know, try not obsessing over food so much and just enjoy it and then be with the family. My wife's always saying, hey, come on, join us, get back in this conversation or whatever, and really, really good advice. But we love you. We care about you. And especially during this time of the year, we hope and pray that you're going to have quality family time. And many people don't have quality mm-hmm. family. And so I always suggest.
Or family. Many people, you right. know, find that their families have either passed on or have diminished or broken up for some reason or another. So
if your strategy is to wait for somebody to decide to come to your door and mm-hmm. and provide something of that nature, then that's probably not going to go well. So go rent a family. Go down to the mm-hmm. mission and volunteer. Go to a recovery group where other folks are. Check out what the churches are doing and be part of being a family to somebody mm-hmm. else.
Or invite others over that maybe are in the same position.
Right.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. I know, Jim Burns, our good friend, they would always order Chinese food. And because they could always just get a little more Chinese food. And however many people showed up, you know, that's who they had for Thanksgiving, and it was a great idea. So maybe, you know, maybe it's something you want to do. But the main thing is, you are in charge of you, and you don't have to wait for somebody to come along and make that a better day. And, you know, you can always call us, and we'll provide a prayer and some encouragement to you. at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, when we come back, we're going to go right to our calls. People are calling in, 1-800-229-3000. It's a great, great week for Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate it at our house. Hope you will, too.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Let's go to the phones. And how about we try talking all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. Danica listens on our podcast, and glad that you do. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, it's Danica. But
Danica. Danica, I'm so sorry. I have a habit of mispronouncing the most obvious.
He just makes up words.
Yeah. Right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Great. Well, how could we help you today?
Well, I am calling in about dealing with my husband's narcissistic ex, and I listened to the podcast because I went through a really hard time dealing with her, but now it's involving the kids. I feel like I've gotten through my share of learning how to do it. But recently, my oldest stepson, he's 13, my other one is 9. They've been in our custody since 6 and 2. Mm-hmm. And recently, he's not been wanting to go see his mom. We live in Alaska. We've had to move away from her just to have firm enough boundaries. But he does not want to see her anymore, and we are having this hard time because she verbally abuses him. They fight a lot, and then our youngest, our 9-year-old who goes down, is pretty manipulative of her and gets away with a lot, and we're struggling knowing what to do. My husband doesn't want to do anything, but the reason why it's an issue is because we have 2 little ones at home right now, and my youngest stepson, because of the enablement he gets to manipulate, he treats his little brother and sister quite poorly. And she gets a big enough chunk in the summer that we're a little bit hesitant. She was verbally abused growing up. She has an abusive father that's passing down to her kids. And
okay, so
we're trying to know.
Yeah, what's the question for us then?
Is it an appropriate measure to listen to my older stepson's wishes? He continuously doesn't want to go down when his younger brother does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll weigh in on this. Let's hear from, let's start with you, Dave. What do you think is the appropriate thing when a child is saying, please, please don't send me away to be with this person I don't want to spend time with?
How old is he, Danica?
13.
He's 13.
I don't know about Alaska, but in California, when they're 13 or 14, they get to decide where they're going to go.
Yeah, and by 14, they can decide. I mean, you can't persuade them or, you know, encourage them in a direction, but the kids can speak out of their own accord.
And sometimes the judge will take them into the chamber and ask them what they want, and that's the result is what they want. So at 13, he's really trying to survive because of the way he's treated. I wouldn't make him go, and I would let his mother know that there's nothing you can do about it yourselves, because he's really adamant about it. And if he goes in the summer, that's a different story. But the other kind of visitation, I would honor your son's request.
So one thing that you might do is, your husband doesn't sound like he wants to do anything about it, and that's sad, because if it really is unhealthy, then you don't want to put a child in an unhealthy situation. But what you might want to do is the right thing. And so whatever court decided who would have jurisdiction, or who would have visiting rights, or who would have custody, you talk to that court. And you ask them about this particular dilemma. What do we do? What does the court say?
So to get some legal advice.
So they might say, well, you have to contact this person or whatever. They might say, which is where we started, they might say, well, at 12 here in Alaska, the child decides whether they're going to go or not. But that'd be the first thing, is to find out what, or, and wherever the decision was made, or whoever has authority here. You don't want to go against the court, and then you've got big problems there. But I sure wouldn't do nothing. I don't think that's a good way to go.
Well, I think, too, you want to hear your son, right? And so to just ignore it is to not hear his concerns. So I think you want to talk with him about his concerns. I think, finding out the legal advice, kind of unofficially, because instead of drawing attention to it, unofficially find out what the law says. Yeah. And then, he's getting to an age, too, where friends become more important, activities become more important. If he's not quite the age, I would maybe just, have his activities and things like that. And I hope this doesn't sound manipulative, but have that stuff kind of get in the way. Like, kind of protect him by allowing him to choose his activities over going. Or, telling his mom, he's got this event. You're welcome to come up here and see it. But this is what he...
And that's it.
Go ahead.
That's the thing, too. He himself is trying to pull anything to get us to not send him.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to miss my basketball. I've been missing my games. But the issue is his younger brother wants to go.
Okay.
And then his mother is so bad that we don't ever want her to come. We moved here for a reason.
Oh, okay.
Around my family, and just to have a country distance between us and her. So we don't want to ever invite her to come here.
Got you. Okay.
So it makes it difficult having a younger brother, not having the same feelings as his older brother.
Well, he's not there yet. But can you send him without the older one?
I know. The older one is very protective. I feel like he's the only barrier between really getting his little brother damaged. He's a protective one. He's taking all the fighting, all the...
He may be the target of his mother, and the other kid is not the target, so he doesn't have the same experience.
Right.
Well, what? If the reason he loves to go is because he is treated inappropriately with this kind of enabling kind of thing, then just perhaps it isn't going to work out for him to go. Either. So I really think the issue here is getting your husband motivated enough to make the inquiries about how this works and what's required. And then you guys need to come up with a strategy of how to communicate what is best for your kids. You have charge of those kids, and you must decide what is best for them. And be willing to stand up for what is best for the kids.
Right. And his passivity in this, is that just his own self-preservation of not wanting to deal with her? And yet then the kids are left to fight the battle.
Right.
Yeah. Why is he not?
I mean, that's important. He's the parent. He's got to be the one to protect him instead of expecting a 13-year-old to do the protecting.
Yeah.
Right?
It's probably a pattern that was there when he was still married to her.
Right.
He was passive.
You know, it's he doesn't want to, you know, have her wrath. So
But make sure you got the court behind you in terms of the age, because it's different in every state, and I'm not sure what it is in Alaska.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to send you a copy of Dave's book, Smart Love, and see if maybe that will help you guys come together as you're making this this strategy move here, hopefully in the best interest of those two kids. All right, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. You want to join us on the program? And then if you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or if you need help for anything off of the radio, it's that same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go to, how about we talk over here to Micah, Vancouver, Canada. This is kind of the North American edition of New Life Today. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. How are you doing?
Great. How could we help you today? And really glad that you listened to the program.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate your ministry, and I hope that my question and your answer is a blessing to other people that are experiencing a little bit of brokenheartedness today.
We'll give it all we've got here.
To give you a bit of context, I was in a relationship for the last basically 2.5 years. It was with a girl that I met down in Los Angeles, so I do have a bit of an American connection. But words can't do this girl justice. She's just the most beautiful, gorgeous personality, big, warm, self-deprecating. I think that God took a little bit of extra time when he made her soul. Her name's Veronica. Anyways, we broke up back in December because I was questioning whether she was a strong enough Christian for the wife that I want and the mother of my children that I eventually want. And I have basically been waffling for the last 9 months. She's been begging me to get back into the relationship, and I have just been refusing. I haven't been there. I haven't been able to fully commit to her. We're kind of doing this weird quasi-relationship thing. And she just sent me a message about a month ago saying she had moved on. And there was something about hearing that, and I'm living every single romantic cliche right now of not knowing what you have until it's gone, all that kind of stuff. It was in that moment that I realized that I love her so deeply, and she is the most important person that I've ever met and that I want to spend the rest of my life with. I would love to honor her in a Christian way, in a sacrificial way, all the things that I couldn't do when I was dating her. And now it seems like it's too late. She wants me out of her life. She's asked me for space. She's asked me to leave her alone. And she's actually already found a new guy who she loves and who's not a Christian. And it's just kind of eating at my heart. And I suppose this is the classic battle between the heart and the head. I know that I need to let go. I know that I need to move on. I know all this. I know all these things that I need to do, but my heart can't let go, and I refuse to, because I almost want to show God how much she means to me. And if I just keep begging him to change his mind, eventually she'll come back to me.
Do you want to hear anything?
You want to hear? I'm wondering what's your advice.
Yeah, I was wondering if you wanted to hear anything from us, because you are processing it right here on the air.
You're doing a good job.
Hey, listen. When the heart is broken, it is always tough. But is there a specific question that you want us to hone in on?
Yeah. How do I win this battle over my heart? I mean, what do I need to do? What steps do I need to take?
Okay. Well, let's look at what happened when she moved on, okay? Your standards were a level of faith and commitment that you would be secure with, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when she moved on with someone who isn't a believer, right?
Yeah.
So while I was thinking that you might have been a little strict there, thinking you got to have some kind of level of maturity before you'll move forward, and that might have been some kind of excuse to not commit, Then you mentioned how she did move forward, and I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe you were right there. And so if that's the case, then you've got a grieving process to do over losing someone that was so great, except for in the area of Christian commitment.
Well,
and that's a tough thing to do, and especially if she has said, don't bother me. I find it really helpful when people say, give me space and don't bother me, to give them space and not bother them. It's kind of hard to make any good come from that when you badger them. Dave, you have a thought here before we
go? I would look at my own level of commitment and some of the fears that I have, because there's a dynamic that's going on between you and her that is very common, and it says more about you than it says about her. And I'll talk about it when we come back.
All right, you're listening to New Life Live. We will give you some more on this. And I'll tell you, it's not easy being in love and as a Christian, and especially when you're trying to do it the right way. But, you know, so many times we're the ones that sabotage something that could be fantastic. And sometimes we're these folks that we like we're talking about here. You don't realize what you have till you say goodbye. We'll talk about all that right after this. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We've got Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're talking with Micah, really brokenhearted over this. Dave, you had a few things you wanted to say that you were saying it's maybe more about him than her. What were you thinking there?
When she was available to you for a relationship, you were holding back and not sure that you wanted
doubts.
It. And as soon as she went the other way, then you were committed, because now there was some space between you that made it easier to be committed. If she came back to you, you would probably go back to the questioning mode again and realize it. So it's something going on inside of you that you got to come to terms with in terms of wanting something that you can't have, and then not wanting it when you can have it, and look at some of the fears you have about being committed, and you got pretty high standards for what
you
want.
Or making a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Because she's no different than she was before.
No.
Like, nothing's changed in her. What's changed is in you, Micah. and that sense of urgency, right? Mm-hmm. And it is true that men fall in love in the spaces, but this is a little different. This is suddenly you have, you know, some competition there, and it's stirring that up in you. Yeah,
and she's not waiting for his call. And
right, right.
She's
just not there
me.
For Micah to decide about. But that's mm-hmm. a really good point, Dave, about that space. And I agree with you. I think as soon as she would come back and he was secure, the doubts would start again,
yeah.
right? That space would collapse, and so, then he would be...
So look at your doubts and realize that there was something going on inside of you that was related to that, and deal with that issue.
And yeah, has and then, that... Oh, sorry, Steve.
Well, I was just going to say, so then the next relationship that comes along, you're ready, you've dealt with it. Maybe there isn't anything there, but maybe there is, and you're a better man for all of this. But again, you know... You're saying that she chose someone that's not a believer to be involved with, and mm-hmm. and so if she did call you today, would you say, yeah, well, even though I had doubts about her commitment to the Lord, I mean, that doesn't seem like that's improved unless she had a major change of heart, right?
Yeah, I've been asked that question before, and my answer to people, even a month after this, it's still, I would put a ring on it tomorrow. If she called okay. me up and said, you know what, I want you back, Micah, too, I would put a ring on it. And I guess I feel responsible for her spiritually. I guess that's the real issue here. Is
okay,
that,
well, that's a different issue.
Like
and that's a,
another,
okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's a different issue, and that's a really dangerous way to be dating, take on spiritual responsibility, because a lot of people that are believers end up in horrible marriages because they took that approach. But look, if here's the thing, and this really feeds into what Dave is saying here. If you would take her back now, then your doubts about her spiritual commitment and stuff really weren't the issue there. See,
right.
That wasn't the big thing. It was something else. And so I think Dave's got you on the right path here. I would suggest that you tell her, that you send her a letter, email or something, probably a letter, be great, that you are going to grant her wishes to not contact her anymore, but you want her to know you are still in love with her, and you would love to be with her if that's really what you're saying, that that's where your heart is. You might want to tell her that, please, you'd love to try again. You made mistakes. You didn't realize what you had. Those kinds of things in a wonderful, beautiful letter can be a good thing as you say goodbye to her mm-hmm. and let her have her space. Yes. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 29, and it's okay. crazy that it's taken me almost 30 years to experience my first real heartbreak like this. It's nuts.
Mm. Yeah. Never fun or easy, Micah.
No. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad you called.
We all go
I'm gonna
through
send
it.
You, yeah, I'm going to send this little book, Is This the One? And a lot of people have had a lot of great insights about the dating process, and it'll help you. And, you know, obviously, I think she right now has to be considered not the one. The one I want to talk to is Larry Sonnenberg right now.
Hey,
Larry's
Steve.
In the studio. Larry, we've got a match, an $80,000
yes, we do.
Match, and we've made some progress toward that, and I'm so glad we have.
Yeah, and the challenge is $80,000 by November 30th. Yeah.
That's not very long.
No, that isn't. That's coming up quick. But we had a good day yesterday, the very first day we announced it. We had $16,000 come in, which was twice of what we... need on an average, but I think mm-hmm. Thanksgiving is going to probably be a little bit of a lighter day,
so we need
to have something like that. But we just need your help. We expect we'll have December is typically a pretty good month for giving. A lot of people, that's their time to mm-hmm. get their tax stuff figured out and make their gifts. But we're in November, and by the end of November, we want to make this match complete. And if I can, I'll read a real quick note, Steve,
okay.
to help
right.
people understand what we do here. Lady says, I called the other day, and Steve, Dr. Townsend, and Dr. Okamoto gave much insight and wisdom, helped me see reality. My burden was lifted. There's work to be done, but with God's help, we can do all things. He will make a way. I'm a New Life, Club New Life member, and I will call you to increase my giving. I'm also sending this tithe. She sent $350 for the match.
Oh.
And she says, my husband and I went to intimacy and marriage last July. Amazing time. Healing began there. Words can't express my gratitude.
Oh,
so,
that's awesome.
Know, between radio, workshops, lives are forever changed. And that's what you support when you make a gift to New Life. Online,
sure,
call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. However you can, we would really appreciate your generous support.
Yes. And please, you know, Club New Life members, think about that one-time gift to match. We'll be back.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I want to mention something real quick. On Sunday, this coming Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm preaching at Northview Church. Now, you could actually hear that message live Saturday and Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern Time on Saturday, 9 and 11 a.m., on Sunday, that's Eastern Time, by going to northviewchurch.us. Last time I sang, Jill just heard the message.
I sang
at the end of that message on love. And I have to tell you, this time, there will be magic at the end.
Another surprise.
All I'm going to say.
Surprise, magic.
So I hope, you know, if you want to hear a message, actually the message is about divorce. We're in a series on the TV series This Is Us, and I was, you know, here on the Thanksgiving weekend. I have to cover the topic of divorce, so the title of my message is Thanks for Nothing. So anyway, I hope you'll tune in. I also want to mention before we go to the next call that Every Man's Battle is on the 30th of November. What a great thing to clean this up, to do something amazing this year, so that 2019 is full of authenticity and character and credibility. That's what we want to see. All right, let's go to Casey from Seattle, Washington. Casey listens on KGNW. Hi, Casey. Welcome to New Life. How you doing? What's going on?
Not doing too good.
Okay, tell us about that.
Hopefully I can get through with it without crying. But my question is, what steps does my husband need to take next so that he doesn't relapse? And what are the next steps for me?
What happened?
Well, I found and it's just a couple weeks ago before the Halloween. Mm-hmm. I was on his phone trying to get something put on his calendar, and I, instead of clicking on the calendar, I swiped left, and there was pornography downloaded on the phone. But it was child pornography.
Mm. Oh my goodness!
And
yeah,
I confronted him right after work. And he just broke down. He said, "I'm so, so sorry." And he opened up about his abuse as a child from another girl at his daycare when he was little. And he was exposed to sexuality really early on. And he's always had this guilt and shame. And I was, you know, beside myself. We're both Christians. We both volunteer in a music ministry. And you know, and I had found pornography earlier in our marriage. We were married at 18. We're 35 now. But, you know, we kind of worked through that, so I thought. And so for this all came to light, he said he felt that the burden is gone, and that he felt like he was freed because he'd been carrying this secret for so long.
Okay, that's not
and,
true.
Okay, I also had some abuse as a child.
So that is not true.
Sorry.
It is.
Yeah,
a great
it was relieving.
Thing.
Temporarily relieved.
Yeah, it's temporary.
Yeah, but that isn't going to change this. And I'm glad you're upset. I'm glad you're calling us. I'm glad you didn't just do what some people would do and say, "Okay, great. Well, I'm glad we got it out in the open. Now go do your best." Now, has he suggested that he was going to do anything at all to make sure that this never ever happened again?
He told me he wants the internet out of. Oh, he wants me to have complete control over the internet. I'm not very technologically
okay. Tell me. I don't want to hear about anything other than has he said. I don't want to hear about anything about protection, all that. Has he said anything about going to work on whatever it is inside of him that led to this? To working on himself with somebody else? Has he mentioned any willingness in that area?
He said he will go to counseling. I mentioned it. I said, I need you to get them help.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, Jill, boundary.
Okay, let us
I
help
know.
You.
You
let
know,
us
Casey,
help you.
This is devastating. And you know, unfortunately, it's not uncommon where some people, often men who have been abused, there's a fixation at that age and a sexualization at that age, and they're drawn into the child pornography as a function of figuring out their abuse. And so you need him to have some healthy ways to deal with that abuse. And that does mean counseling, but that also means dealing with the sexual addiction part, because now it's taken on a life of its mm-hmm. own. And the first step was confessing to you. And now he needs to be able to confess in a safe environment. And that's exactly why we created Every Man's Battle. And that would be a really... I can't think of anything better for him to jumpstart him on a path of healing and
That'd
to
be the first
help
thing.
Eliminate the shame in his life, because this is so shameful. Okay, he's told you, but now he doesn't really want to tell many other people, right? Because this is not just pornography. This is child pornography. People lose their jobs over this.
Yeah.
This is,
you
know.
Go to jail.
Yeah, he started out as the normal. It always starts out as the normal, you know, whatever that is. And then it leads down to this spiral of shame and
Okay, so here's the thing. You must not let him tell you that this isn't a big deal, okay? That he just needs to do a little bit here or there, because here is a big... Here's a question. I would wonder if he was abused by anyone else. See?
If there was more than just what he's disclosing.
I would wonder what has transpired since all of this. And what I'm saying is,
okay,
you may not know the full picture. That's one thing. But secondly, he's got to see this as something that his brain has been rewired. You know, he's obsessed over this, and so many years. You don't just one day decide I'm free. And even if he was free, that doesn't fix the stuff inside.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if he wasn't tempted for the rest of his life, he still has these things that need to be resolved. At minimum, I would be saying to him, I think it would be best for you to start the journey here by going to the Every Man's Battle workshop. And when he says, no, that's about pornography, and all, you say, no, it's not. This is something other men have struggled with, honey. Mm-hmm. You need to go do that. And then let's see how that goes. And he continues to work with a counselor when he comes back and his sustained victory group. And let's just see how much into the work that he does to be truly free and for you to feel safe and secure in the plan that he's got going forward.
The other thing is he can't depend on you as his support system because he needs other men. And that's the other thing that Every Man's Battle does. It gets him with a group of men who are similar issues, who face the issues together and then continue to work together. Because he's going to need men in his life to really get beyond this. It's not something he can do just by willpower.
Yeah, okay. And I mean, okay. I have been, I mean, he's been, I could tell that he really wants it gone from his life. He just
okay, of course he wants it gone. Really, that doesn't mean anything, though. Motivation, desire, those things, they feel really important. They are not important. Motivation and desire, not important. Willingness to take action, very important.
Okay. So is there anything I need to do or can do? I also just am struggling with this a lot.
Yeah. Well, we've got a thing called Restore that I wish you could somehow go to. I really think it would be amazing for you. Women who, you know, have been in a relationship like this, they go and they find hope and healing for themselves. That's what it's for.
And you may need to maybe meet with someone as well to talk through your grief.
Yeah.
Right? Over, you know, because now your exposure to what your husband is doing is causing a lot of, you know, turmoil inside of you. You know, you've been with this man since you were 18. That's a hard thing to process and to wrap your mind around. And I think to sit with a caring counselor to help you process that would be really helpful for you.
And for him to have had this problem and you didn't know after all these years, it just, you really need to get some folks to help.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you of several ways you can catch New Life Live if you miss us here on the radio. All of our shows are archived online at newlife.com, so you can listen at your convenience and you can see what questions were asked on each program. New Life Live is also available as a podcast and in the New Life app, so you can listen on the go. And you can stream us live at 10 a.m. Pacific time at newlife.com. And if you aren't receiving the free New Life Daily Devotional, well, you're missing out. We email it to you early in the morning, so any time during the day that you need a moment to reset and refocus on God's truth, it's right there at your fingertips. There's a sign-up link at the bottom of the homepage at newlife.com to get you started. Steve, back to you.
All right. Thank you there, Terry. And by the way, anybody that is interested in our workshops, newlife.com is where you can find out about them, or just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we talked about that Restore workshop. Well, that's Hope for a Woman's Heart. It's Restore March the 1st. Every Man's Battle is the 30th of November. Don't wait. Get the help. And then, you know, if you are struggling with the obsessions of life and compulsive behavior, you can't get control of it. We've got Finding Freedom. It's our New Life Weekend brand new workshop. I think it's got the kinds of things that you need to get free. And, you know, if you're obsessing over things and that's resulting in this compulsive behavior, will help you get to the heart of it. I heard someone say the other day that he used to say he had OCD, but now he has CDO, which is OCD, but you alphabetize the letters, which is the way that they ought to be when you have OCD. So anyway, we can help you no matter what you are struggling with. All right, let's go to the phones again. By the way, if you want to join us for another program, we're in the studio two more hours, 1-800-229-3000, Jody, Peoria, Illinois. How you doing? How can we help today?
Hi there. I'm so thankful that you took my call. Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad you called us. How can we help today?
Well, I have always struggled with feeling that God is always upset with me, or that mm-hmm. I am constantly not doing things right. I tend to picture him more as a judge than a loving father, and I just feel like it's sucking the joy out of my face.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with Dave. What do you say to this, Dave? I mean, a lot of folks, as you know, God gets confused with Dad on Earth.
Yeah. What was your father like, Jody?
He was... it's funny because I always asked him if he was mad at me. I will always remember that. Dad, are you mad at me? Did they do something wrong? I've always been like that with my dad. And it actually extended beyond that because my friend, her dad, I always felt like was upset with me to the point where I wrote him a letter when I was like 10 because I wanted to know why he was mad at me or why didn't he like me.
Was it just with men, not with your mom? Wasn't with all
right.
parental figures, just with men.
Yeah, so that gets transferred to God, and you see God through the glasses or the lenses of your father. That's common to all of us. I struggled with that in my own life for years, and God was always a day late and a dollar short for me, because that's the way I experienced my father. He was always a day late and coming through.
So what should she do? How can she make progress? Because I think a lot of people...
Yeah, this isn't that uncommon at all.
One of the things you got to do is deal with those issues with your dad, not with him directly, because he probably wouldn't understand, but you got to deal with him internally and the internalization of your father. You've got to confront that and grieve what he wasn't that you needed him to be and what he was that he shouldn't have been, and release it and forgive it at some point, but not until you've done the grieving work, because that's the important part of the process.
I really believe this to be true, that Satan uses the voice of someone in your past to speak to you, to inflict shame or doubt or things like that. They use the image of someone from your past, and they use the reputation of someone in your past. And so, you know, if you're hearing these things, that are still condemning or that worry you all the time about what people think, then, you know, one of the best things that you can do is to say, wait a second, I wonder, what is this? Is this God? No, I don't think it is. I think it's really Satan using this to keep you from growing closer to God. So you have to resolve that. You have to identify where it's coming from.
But you have to, I think this, recognizing this is really important, because you have to start to make the distinction. It's just like when people transfer, you know, their images of dad onto a husband, right? You have to start to discern, like you're saying, Steve, that, oh, that was about my dad. That isn't actually about God, because God isn't like that. I'm just seeing God through my dad filter. Right? And start to see that, and then be able to compare and be able to, you know, kind of recite who God is and what you know about him, even if it doesn't feel or resonate with you.
Get the conflict going between what God really is and what I experience him. We internalize our parents. So your dad lives in your head. That's why you don't deal with your physical father, you deal with the internalization of your father. And the book, we'll send you the book, Making Peace with Your Father, which tells things that dads are supposed to do and don't do and how to work through those issues. There's a workbook in it.
All right. I'm really glad you called.
Awesome. And I guess it's just extended to the point where I feel guilty if I enjoy things. Like, I feel guilty if I have comfort or if you know, I even feel guilty just for living in America and how much we have here, and it just extends to so many aspects of my life now.
Well, that's where you begin. You may need some help to work it through with a counselor, but
feeling deserving, of anything good.
There was some way your dad communicated that to you that led you to take that kind of a position or feel that kind of sensitivity. So there's some involvement there that you need to understand.
And when you're a little girl, you know, dads are big and can be scary if they don't really try to connect with you, right?
Yes.
If they're more aloof and distracted, you know, that's scary for a little girl. And so,
and a lot of times, we think it shouldn't be this way. But a lot of folks are still living in that daily little girl place, and you're not, you know, realizing the fact that you're not vulnerable like you were. It feels that way, and so getting all of this resolved is such a place of freedom and starting over. And I'm just going to – I'll send you let's send her a copy of Making Peace with Your Father,
with your father,
as you said there, Dave. But this is the kind of thing that we deal with at this Finding Freedom workshop. And I really hope and pray that you'd think about joining us there, because it's about resolution and it's about moving on. And, you know, if you find yourself – you are still responding – to somebody that's been dead for years, or somebody that hurt you years ago, boy, does God ever have some wonderful freedom for you. And that's what we want you to find, and that's why we've done this workshop. We'll do it for the first time. So come
God, and God wants that for her.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, please, if you want to join us for another program right here today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. If you want to help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or if you need help, you call that number also.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.